Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
The title of our sermon tonight is The Scent of Water. The Scent of Water. And the first subtitle is When the Data Lies. When the data lies. So like I did last Sunday, I will do again a scripture focus so that you don't miss any of the scriptures. Romans 4:18-21. 2 Corinthians 4:18, and Hebrews 2:7-9. Hebrews 2:7-9. The introduction. As I went, data lies, right? We can call it the tyranny of data. So I wrote, we live in a world obsessed with data. By data, I mean information. We look at the bank account data, the medical report data, the biological clock data, the timeline of our lives. Data tells us what is logical, what is probable, and what is dead. And sometimes the data looks so terrible. You are woken up, you know, sometimes you wake up to very bad news. Have you been there before? When your faith is very high. Who has been there before? Hallelujah to Jesus. Faith very high and the news very bad. So terrible. Probably you've been praying for breakthrough, but the delay is stretching into years. Have you been there before? You're looking at a wrong situation, probably. Praying for breakthrough for many years. You know, it has gone through many years for one thing. Looking at the wrong situation. Probably sometimes you are just in a situation of a broken relationship. You've been in a relationship you have not gotten over. Sorry, a broken relationship or a condition called breakup that you have not gotten over, isn't it? A stalled career. You're not moving forward, you're not moving backward, you're just static in one place. A failing business, you know, sometimes your business is, you know, unfortunately they fail. And the data suggests to you that you should give up. Alright? Satan through the data suggests to you to give up already. And sometimes you don't necessarily need to say, I give up. You begin to act in ways that proves that you are giving up. You know, and if someone is not discerning enough, he wouldn't tell you you are giving up. There was a situation, a lady who had been away from church for a while now, and before she's in this condition, probably that she doesn't have time to always come to church. She was caught up in a situation yet. She couldn't pay her rent, I think. Was it that? Okay, no. I think she lost her job. Sorry, the job wasn't paying her at the time they're supposed to pay her. You know, Nigerian employers can be funny sometimes. They pay you when they feel like. And she couldn't keep up, and so she had to run to her family and leave the house as a result and effect. Are we together? And caught up in this whole confusion situation, Satan targeted her heart. One time I was in the house, and I remembered I have not been seeing this member in the church. So I asked about her through the HOD, and I think they were suggesting what was wrong. They all had maybe one or two suggestions in their heart, probably. But I felt like that was not enough reason for somebody to stay away from church. And so I wanted to probe into the situation even deeper. And one of these days, I invited her over to my office. And I said, "Why are you not coming to church?" And she said, "Sir, nothing, sir." With a smile. And I said, "Are you sure, sister? It's just a coincidence. Probably because I'm far, but nothing is really the situation." I said, "This is a more dangerous answer. If I had somebody who said this is a problem with me, that's why I can't come to church, it's even better than hearing nothing." So I said, "Your answer is more dangerous, even though you are putting up a smile." And so I began prophetically to speak to her God's word. I told her, I said, "I've been pastoring for years, even if I look so young, and I can tell this is a more deeper situation than somebody who has an obvious problem in church." So when I began to explain to her, talk to her about faith, and I think you all should know this. Sometimes you can be deceived to think you have a walk with the Holy Spirit because you always come to church and you're in a company of believers, always praying. You're in a department that prays on Monday, meets on Tuesday, meets. Maybe they just don't meet one time in a week. You know, Tuesday is midweek service. Monday you meet. Wednesday you meet. Thursday you probably don't meet. Friday you meet. You know, and maybe the only time you don't meet again is Saturday. And probably that Thursday you are not even meeting physically. You are doing Bible study online. You know, you may now be deceived you have a walk with the Holy Spirit. Do you know you don't have a walk with the Holy Ghost if that's solely what you rely on? Whatever activity happens corporately with your people in church, your department in church. Do you know you don't have a walk with the Holy Spirit? I said, a lot of times people think they have a walk with the Holy Ghost because they are doing something in church and they are always seated around people and always around church activities or in church activities, like Martha. But Jesus told Martha that even though it seems as if Mary was choosing a more lighter responsibility, Mary's responsibility at that point was more important to what? Martha's weighty looking activity in the physical. She was cooking for Jesus. Who wouldn't prefer that logically? But Mary was listening to Jesus. She was seated at the feet of Jesus listening to him. And Jesus preferred that at that point. Not that Jesus is against church workers, but Jesus was like, at that point while I'm teaching, you should be listening to me, not walking. And that's why I see sometimes in church, I tell you guys, you can be experiencing holy distraction. And don't think because I say holy distraction, it is going to work for holiness. No. It will work for death. Are we together? While the world is going on, you are moving around. And listen, no matter how beautiful the situation may look, you are destroying yourself. You now see sometimes you are playing with a child when the world is going on. And that's why I say children should go out of the church. Because the truth is that if we don't know how to behave, Satan will use children to distract us. It's the truth. The world is going on and you are smiling at a baby. You are experiencing distraction unto death. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Yes. And so, Jesus suggested, of course, that was why he suggested that it was the right thing to do. He said, "Mary, you got to sit down. Martha, you got to sit down and learn. This is more important than any other activity at the start of school." It happens a lot. People come to church. Alright, they think they have a walk with the Holy Ghost, but they don't have a walk with the Holy Spirit, a personal walk with Jesus. They don't have it. So I said to her, I said, "Do you think your faith will grow if all you depend on for a walk with God is all you do in church?" I said, take for instance, all the things you are praying about God gives you are the detriment of what? Why should He give you? Why do you think God should give you all the things you are praying about? And most times when people's faith are weakened because God is not answering their prayer, it is money. Money is always a problem. Money is always, anything you think is your problem, you can be translated to money. And that's why the Bible says money is so powerful. It has the potency to be so powerful. Not so powerful. God is the most powerful. But money has the potency to be very powerful if our eyes are set on it, if our gaze are upon it. Little wonder scripture said, I think Jesus said this word, that you cannot serve God and mammon. Are you all listening to me? It is possible to serve God and money. Sorry. It is possible. You know, you can't serve God and mammon. You can have money and serve God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. So anytime you see yourself serving money, it is not money you are serving. That money to you has been translated to mammon. Huh? The only way to understand, one of the key ways, or the only way to understand that now you are buying to the spirit of mammon, is that money controls you. When money controls you, the spirit of mammon has subdued you. You can serve God and mammon. A lot of people are living for mammon. They are empty vessels, empty souls. Souls that are empty. Say, Pastor, why will you say I'm empty? I have a degree in anatomy. I have a degree in this and that. It doesn't mean you are not empty. The Bible calls this wisdom, the wisdom that is coming to nothingness. The only thing that has a potency to endure forever is the word of God. Are we together? And that's why you can know all of these things and still be, you know, the Bible still says you could be standing on sinking sand. But if you know Christ, you are standing where? On the rock. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So God cannot give you eternal spiritual blessing at the detriment of just being physically capacitated. So why do you think you deserve a job in law, a job in computer science, a job in medicine? Because I read medicine, I read law, I read computer science, so I deserve it. From God's perspective, if that's all you know, then you are not capacitated. Because he thinks beyond the present excitement. What if you are thrown into the lions, then what will happen to your fate? Will the knowledge of medicine save you? But the knowledge of law or computer science save you if you are thrown in a lion's den? So he wants you to be spiritually capacitated. Like I always use this instance. So that when you are in a tough situation, when you get to certain height in life, where Satan will test your allegiance, certain height of success, you will not be thrown into the lion's den. Of course, in fact, if you haven't thrown into the lion's den, you are in faith. Because Daniel had the option to bow so that he will not be what? Thrown in the lion's den. Are we together? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So if you are thrown in that lion's den, what happens to you? That's what God is seeing. If God sees that you cannot survive lion's den, then you are not qualified for what you are even praying about. Those big things. And sometimes people will say, worldly people are making money. We in church, we are just suffering. Stop thinking like that. Are you going to say that the children of Israel were so unlucky because they were in the wilderness for several years and other folks in Egypt were making money and eating food? Huh? Are you going to say the children of Israel were so unlucky and so unfortunate? They were God's choicest people, isn't it? God was specially working on this, his covenant people. Now, God has no business with whatever they are thinking in Egypt. He's taking out his people. And they may be going through the wilderness, but listen, it does not mean that they are disadvantaged. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Other people may be surviving or winning or seeming to be succeeding in Egypt. It's not your business. Don't compare your walk with God in the wilderness as God's own choices person, you know, people of the covenant, with people in Egypt, people in the world, people in the world system. They may have what to eat and drink. They may have jobs yet and etc. But it doesn't mean that you are like them. Your walk with Jesus is different. You've been separated by the precious blood of Jesus. You've been called out from every tribe, people and nation. So God is specially working on you. And say this word, say God is specially working on me. So dare not to. You know, I've heard crazy statements like this. There are people who are not born again. And Christians are praying for things that worldly people are getting without prayer. You know, you don't think deep. That's why you talk like that. If you think even deeper, you see that God's children were in Egypt. God's children were in the wilderness. Meanwhile, the Egyptians were enjoying themselves in Egypt. And some of God's children who were not capacitated enough yet, who had wrong mindset, the children of Israel in the wilderness, they even said the same thing they are saying today. They said to Moses, take us back towards Egypt. You would have even left us there. God is trying to do something that does not make sense to them at the status quo.
Think about it. You think those guys were idiots? I always used to tell you people that these guys are not idiots. They are normal human beings like you and I. They are very schooled. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if they wondered what the hell God was doing with them in Egypt, you probably are in the same situation sometimes. But anytime you doubt whatever is happening in your life, you know, your walk with God, what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, the season in your life, you begin to doubt, begins to rise. That's exactly what happened. You don't need to be in the wilderness, in bush, to know that the same problem they had is the same problem you are having today. And because of that wrong mindset they had, because of those complaints, because the wrong mindset facilitated complaint, they started complaining. They were not complaining directly to God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They will look at Moses and be complaining. And be complaining. The person that suffered was their pastor, Moses. They always had problem with Moses. Hallelujah to Jesus. As if it was Moses' fault. Amen. Moses obeyed God, went to Egypt, took them out of Egypt. Like I obeyed God, get God into the world, save you from the world. Huh? Some of you, I don't know where you were, but you know where you used to be. Now, there is no doubt you are not that person that you used to be. But the problem now is, God, I'm going to start having problem with you if you don't give me what to eat and what to drink. Now, question I want to ask is, this present state of your life, compared to who you used to be, which one is most important? Which one is more important? Now, you have everything to eat and drink, but you are decaying in the world. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You may not have everything yet. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to have everything yet. I'm going to show you that you ought to have everything. The Bible says to us in the book of Hebrews 2, 8 and 9 that we may not see everything subjected under our feet yet, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus. I'm going to explain it more and more as we teach. And so, in the height of that situation, are we together? In the height of that situation, you better set your gaze on me if you like watching what you see fly. In trouble, if you are looking at that. Amen? At the height of that situation, what happened? That lady in church, someone came to their house. She said it was her mom's prophetess. Now the mom prophetess asked her, "What church do you attend?" We don't know what conversation brought about that. But she had been always, you know, the mom had always tried to stop her from coming to church because they belonged to a particular denomination. Now, I've gotten this a lot, so I don't even feel odd when I hear new ones. And the mom prophetess told her, in that church, they collect people's destiny. So if you go there, what happens is that you stop having money, you start suffering, and things like that. And even though she denied it and said it's nothing like that is happening, I'm not 100% sure she denied it 100% because at that point she was damn broke. So probably there was the working of faith and unbelief at the same time. You know, when the man said, "Lord, I believe you, but help my unbelief." So probably it may make a little sense, maybe 0.1 sense. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? All of you watch me. These things don't bite. You see, I'm explaining your situation. You are proving it to me. Are we together? They don't bite. They will just climb your head and nothing will happen to you. So, watch me. Are we together? Let butterfly not make you miss. They are enjoying their season. They've grown. Allow God to help you. And so, I can't boldly say I'm sure she stood for truth, but her situation, she would have been a little bit tempted, I guess. Although she told me, "Pastor, I told," but the mom now had a strong reason to stop her from church, and that was her problem at the status quo. And of course, she was a little bit okay not coming to church because of her present situation. And so I said to her, "How did we get there?" Because she was not opening up. But when I began to teach the word, speak the word, boom, she opened up. That was the situation. If she truly felt like that, if that was the situation originally, I would have been told a long time ago. But you see, when the word started coming forth, she had to open up and say, Pastor, this is the situation. And I'm laughing because I could see in the spirit that that's a mom's prophetess, and the mom prophetess know the church. That's planned prophecy. Word from knowledge. Not word of knowledge. Alright? You know, one time someone said, the family, they were trying to stop the lady from church, so they discussed with their prophet, and when they took the lady to the prophet said, yeah, in this church that the prophet, me, I went to Ghana, and I felt so bad because if I wanted to do something like that, what's wrong with 1 year Sabbath? You know, but I went to Ghana and I took some powers, and that's why when I say things, people follow me, that I take people's children. And that was so astonishing. So anytime I speak to people's children, they just follow me because I have some charms. And that's why anybody that comes to the church loves me so much, because there's charm in my mouth. And I was so astonished. But what will you do? You have to keep on moving. Are we together? That's not even something to make me angry. It's something funny. It's a very funny scenario. Such a prophet cannot look at me into my eyes. Or a prophetess. They can't come close and look. They know they are liars. And I'll tell the demon in them. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's why sometimes people don't respect the prophetic. Because some of you people are the ones that make some prophets who lie. When you go to them, you want them to talk by all means. They will talk. You are trying to create problem where there is no problem. You have given them a hint. Sir, this is not working in my family. This is not working. And there's one of my sister that doesn't like me. Say, that your sister. There's a shrine. It starts like that. Why do you think most prophets only see bad things? They don't see good things. Anytime you go, there's a tree somewhere that they did not cut. It's a sacrifice your grandfather did. That he called to the sixth generation. There's a this one. It's always demonic thing. Anytime you want to give prophecy on breakthrough, you must give money. You must. I see 10 people in this place that will give 100,000. I see their level shifting. 10. Where are the 10? You see people running forward. Wait, and they are giving bad prophecy. They don't used to collect anything from the shrine. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so they are littered everywhere. They are plenty. You know, a lot of fake prophets and fake prophetess. You know? And one way you know them is their old way of doing things. Before you know, some of them wear white. Some of them will put red cross. Some of them will remove their shoe. You are close to being a babalawo when you start behaving like that. Some of them will carry sage, you bring dove. And some of them, again, in the 21st century, some of them who are close to babalawos, the ones that carry toy and put on their pulpit. They say it's from Israel. It's called, what is the name? Remind me, I really don't know. Shofar is that horn. Shuel, something like that. Shuel is a Hebrew word for death, grave. Is it Shuel? Prayer Shuel. Are you pronouncing it well? Shuel. Pronounce this one. Spell it, let me hear. Okay. That's a toil. Okay. All right. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see them put it on their pulpit. And talking. And it seems some of you are moved by things like that. That's ignorance in display. It's art. You know, I saw a prophet, he posted and said, prophet should not go to pastor's conference. We are people of mysteries. I said, what kind of rubbish is that?
the way God operates with us is mysterious. One left their hair so long. In fact, you're going to see crazy things in this end time. You are seeing already. I was watching one young man. And some of them, they started well. He left his hair. They criticized him. He now left his hair. He said God told him to leave his hair. Now his hair is long like this. That's how it starts. Before you know it, it's atrocities you start hearing. I think there's one too on the internet that left his hair. He said Jesus told him to leave the hair. Jesus told him to leave his hair. Long. And put tattoo everywhere. And nose ring. In the name of... And listen, we are boldly telling you that stupidity. It has nothing to do with the prophetic. Are you listening to me? They did not start this Christianity. Are you listening to me? The highest authority is the scriptures. The highest authority of God and heaven is the word of God in the Bible. It says, for my word is forever settled as the heavens. What it means is that the content of heaven is God's word. Are you listening to me? There is no odd thing in heaven. Heaven can never tell you to do what the word of God tells you not to do. God cannot tell you to put a towel on your neck or on your pulpit. It's idolism. It has nothing to do with the New Testament. Are you listening to me? All those things are shadows pointing to the new. And listen, they think we hate them when we talk like this. There is no hatred. It's just ignorance in display. If you read the Bible, you see how Paul corrects doctrines. Does it mean Paul hates the people he's correcting? Listen, I was in Fidelity Bank this afternoon. And I tell you, you may think I'm lying, but if you know me, you know I'm not lying. I saw a guy that attends, obviously he attends Choosing. He wore the Choosing, what do they call it? I know. I'm sure you guys want to laugh, but listen to this. Genuinely, when I looked at that guy, I fell in love with his person. He looked so gentle. Up to the point that I thought he didn't have money because they told him to deposit 1.5 in his account. So he had 1,000. I was wondering if I could help him, but he had money. So I just genuinely like his spirit. And I said to myself, truly, there are people even in wrong places that God lost their spirit. Are you listening to me? They are pure in nature, but ignorant yet. I don't know that you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you. Pure in their nature, but what? Ignorant yet. There are a lot of people like that. To show you that what we are doing is a rescue mission. We don't hate anybody. If you look at people who are doing wrong things and the only thing that comes to your heart is mockery, no, not compassion, then you really don't understand God. It cannot just be mockery. In fact, mockery is not even part of the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is not mockery. So sometimes you may see us feel a little bit offended, like Paul will say, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's holy anger. It's not unto death. It is unto life, for they are good. Are you guys hearing what I'm trying to say? So why is pastor angry? The person is being, why is pastor angry? Why will I not be angry? When I pray for you every day, study the word to help you to become better, and you ask stupidly, should I start licking your ear and saying, glory be to God, like a dog? No. It should pain me because that's not what I was anticipating when I was preparing to help, to allow God to help your life through me. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And so I felt so genuinely excited about the guy. I knew God would do great things with this man. They're just one touch. Just one touch of truth. I almost wanted to go and tell him that I want to collect his number. I don't know. I couldn't do it. He was with his mom. So the Holy Spirit showed me how that the thing moved from his mom to him. That was the church he was giving birth into. But he was so dedicated. If you carry that dedication and come here, some of you will not see his back. If that brother carried that dedication and come here, you will not even see his back. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. He really loves the Lord. You can see it in the guy. But of course, I'm saying ignorance because I don't believe some of their beliefs. I'm not trying to disrespect them. And also, I don't believe ultimately in their jacket, the jacket they wear on top. You know, quoting a scripture at the front of a jacket does not make you righteous, protected, nor holy. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? God does not look at the outward, he sees what? The inward. Are you here tonight? Very important. And so when you see things like this happening, you are wondering, you know, are these things right? Listen, they are not right. And listen carefully. If God wants to discard what is right, he doesn't just put it in the heart of the people. In fact, a lot of times he doesn't put it in the heart of the people. He put it in the heart of another prophet. If God wants to discard what is wrong, from the mouth of a certain prophet, he puts it in the heart of another prophet. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Read your Bible, you see it. I think it was Habakkuk, right? Or Ezekiel. The Lord wanted to discard what was wrong from a prophet's mouth. He put it in another prophet's heart to go and speak it. In the New Testament, you could see Paul and Peter. Peter was doing what was wrong. You see, they didn't really see it as a big deal like we are seeing it today. You know, sometimes you see people speaking emotionally and saying the church are divided, blah, blah, blah. See, for us to really come into unity, there must be division yet. You can't tell me that I should enter church without my slippers on and my shoes on right now. And I should keep quiet at the detriment of some false peace. That's false peace. It's not peace. Because if I don't truly believe what you are doing, and I pretend I like that, I am just being a hypocrite. And probably my belief is the truth of God's word. So should I leave the truth of God's word at the detriment of some peace with you? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And when I say peace now, the opposite is not fight. But pretending like all is well. And I give an instance. When we were all growing up, some of us are from different, we grew up from different denominations. If you remember, if you truly remember, your parents never painted it to your neighbor's face that they hated their church. Did they? Huh? In the barracks, my father never made it look as if going to another church, nor my mother, ever made it look as if going to another person's church was a problem. But the day I stepped my leg in that church and she mistakenly hears, she will flog me in the house. It happens to a lot of people. When you come and say, we are all one now. We are all one. Even with the Muslims, sometimes you say, it's just one God. Well, just that it's different routes. But carry your leg to the mosque and say, Mommy, let me use this route today. I'll continue it our own tomorrow. Like I heard somebody speaking in the UK Parliament. Very intelligent senator, I think, politician, if he's not a senator. He said something that I believe too. He said, I don't believe Muhammad is a prophet. And I think the whole world should hear me. You can record it and put it out media. I truly don't believe Muhammad is a prophet. I don't believe Muhammad heard God. That doesn't mean that I will insult Islam. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That doesn't mean that if I see them, I'll say God will punish you. Or if I see them, I'll say Arnis. I don't believe their doctrines. I truly don't believe any of their beliefs. I don't believe in jihad. I believe in some demon that brought that into view. I believe it's a demon that will tell you that if somebody does not believe in your religion, he deserves death. He's a demon. God cannot be a killer. If your God is a killer, then your God is the devil. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But that doesn't mean that if I see a Muslim now, I'll slap you and say, you are a big fool. I'll blow you now. No. I respect them, but I don't believe their beliefs. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? And he was trying to point out the fact that if somebody does not believe Islam and says he doesn't believe it or even mock it, it doesn't mean the person should go to prison. Now, for our case as Christians, we shouldn't even mock them. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But we don't believe it. All right? But of course, it is justified. If I mock your Allah, if I mock your Muhammad, I don't deserve to die. It should be my own cup of tea. Allow your Muhammad to kill me. Don't kill for your God. Doesn't your God have hands? Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? Because you see, it's sad. Like we spoke about Deborah, who died over 2, 3, 4 years ago, right? The lady in Sokoto. The nation is still quiet, of course, obviously, because it's a Muslim ticket. I don't believe a president who really knows what he's doing, we allowed that to fly. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? She died today, no penalty for the people. Just because a certain group of people in this nation think their law should become the law of the entire nation. It's sick. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? A Sikh. So yes, I don't believe in Muhammad. I don't believe Muhammad had God. I believe he had a demon. I don't believe Muhammad knew anything he was doing. Yet, I am not insulting any Muslim. I don't hate any Muslim. I love them like Christ loves them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that does not mean that I feel the constitution of Nigeria. I have right of speech. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And if you think I did something against Muhammad, Muhammad should call and kill me. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He should come for me, not you, his follower. We have never gone out to kill anybody in the name of Jesus. We only heal in the name of Jesus. We raise the dead in the name of Jesus. And we provide for people in the name of Jesus, not kill in the name of Jesus. I'm saying this because of what I'm teaching right now. Alright? So there's this false pretense about unity in the faith. This false pretense. And hell yes, the division is prophetic. I tell you, the division yet is prophetic. He said once again, Jesus speaking, he said, I wish to set fire. I have come to set fire, upon the face of the earth. And I wish the fire was already ablazing. And he said, when I set this fire, parents will rise against their children. Children will rise against their parents. Their uncles will rise against children, blah, blah, blah. Meaning there's going to be division yet when that fire comes. That was the promise of Jesus. Jesus promised this division yet. In GFC, didn't we do it? That the route to peace. I remember I failed that question. And most of us seated here would have failed that question. That the route to peace was what? No. What was your answer? Logically. Dialogue. Like Gumi is talking today. Gumi said we should go and dialogue with bandits. You know, they say he's a doctor. That we should go and dialogue with bandits so that we'll be in peace. A sovereign nation like this, he calls us a sovereign nation. You know, he said America should not come for us because we're a sovereign nation. Yet he said a sovereign nation should bow to the biddings of what? Of bandits. Are we Joe Biden? That we should bow to the bidding of bandits. You know what their demand is in Ogun? Is it Ogun? Or your state? You know what their demand, one of their demand is? Out of their crazy demand, one of them is that they should what? They should endorse. Do you know, I can tell you as a prophet, that if you look at that same state, there has been one Yoruba sheikh who has been advocating for Sharia law. Listen to me carefully. I'm prophesying now. He has been advocating for Sharia law. Recently, when the thing happened, Gumi went to greet them that he's so sorry for the thing that happened. Gumi did not go to greet them. Gumi went to meet that sheikh. And Gumi met people that have hands to do with that killing. You can quote me anywhere. And I tell you the truth. He is part of this rubbish happening in this nation. That guy they call Gumi. One day, they'll catch him so late. They've even catch himself. One day, someone will have the impetus to push for the truth. See, I'm not saying carnally devised fables. If you have eyes, in fact, logically, if you look at it, you will know. You know, there was a video circulating one time. He was collecting money of ransom for people. From people. I remember I saw this video, he was speaking in Hausa. The woman said, I have just 200,000, maybe 400,000. He said she's not ready, that this is just transferred money to go there. This is not something you can, if we check it very well in the internet, it's there. This is the same man that will come and be telling us, please, why do you think he's pushing for this thing? These people are his children. I tell you, a lot of money that guy will have, I believe he's tied to banditry. But the government is not bold enough. I believe the government knows it. You get what I'm trying to say? It's so funny, but it's the truth. I really don't know how the hell I got here. But let's continue what we're teaching tonight. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, those false pretense of peace will not help our country. And it will not help Christianity.
You see, recently something happened. If you observe, I've not really been so vocal about this thing. Like, I used to be vocal like 2 months ago. Did you observe something like that? You're wondering, Pastor is quite calm. I prayed a prayer. I said, God, help us to come out of this thing. And that time that Reverend Dachomo of Jos was shouting and crying that he was burying people 20, 30, 50 every month. I think one time they buried over 500 at once. We were shouting on the internet, these people are not meat. These are not cows. Even cows, they don't kill them the way they were killing those human beings for consumption. We were saying that other pastors should speak out from the West. Christians should speak out. Nobody was speaking out. They were cool. And of course, some of them we can tell logically, it is because the person there is their tribal person. It's just the truth. They kept quiet. You know, some people actually believe that they are trying to paint the government bad. Huh? They say some people are trying to paint the government bad. It's a useless way of thinking. Even if it's happening, nobody should emphasize such useless words. You see, let me tell you something about leadership. When you are very kind as a leader, they will take you as rag. When you are very nice as a leader, they will take you as rag. Think about Jonathan. In fact, let's go to the Bible. Think about Moses. The Bible says Moses was a very meek man. Meaning anything you want, Moses will hardly refuse it. He was a meek man. That God called him the most meek man upon the face of the earth. That is why the people had that impetus to behave like that to Moses. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? There was another man that hit the earth, Elijah. When he was working with God's people, you don't just do anything that comes to your mind. When they mock Elijah, he called out bear. When they mock Moses, he went and told God. I don't know that you care what I'm trying to explain. Elijah dealt with them waiting no good. He dealt with people. Alright? Moses was a very meek person. Now, I'm not trying to say you should learn to be like Elijah. I'm going somewhere. Jonathan was a very nice person. Nice human being. Lost an election as a sitting president. It's like a dream. Came out and said, my ambition is not worth the blood of any Nigerian. There is nobody that did not protest. Even flies protested in this nation that time. Nobody that did not talk his mind. When Buhari entered, everybody became humbled. Instead of protesting, they were going to beg the president to consider. That was a man that did not care about you. He would just finish you. Then his father now entered. Are you seeing that people are taking, because there's a way you talk, they'll say the person disappeared. They kidnapped the person. And this person that was talking, they are not seeing the person again. His phone is not ringing. But Jonathan, pastor so, imam so, politician so, actors. See those funny ones now, they are not talking, those are your actors and celebrities. You see that, nothing concerns them. It's just to sing rubbish and you stream and they make money. They don't care about you. Are you seeing them talking? As long as the president allowed their music to fly, they don't care about you. Some of them are drug sellers. They don't care. They've caught them and released them. They can't talk because they'll bring out their secrets. That's why if logically speaking, you should understand it's time to repent if you are not a Christian. Come out of this rubbish. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing any of them talking? Some of these people, you listen to their song, these worldly songs out there. It's to be facilitating demonism, darkness that they know how to do. Alright? I really hate to talk about politics. It takes me off what I'm teaching a lot of times. That's why I avoid it a lot of times. So let's continue. So is it that false understanding for how peace should come is the reason why somehow there's stagnation in Christianity, especially in our nation? So, for instance, like I give some instances, I have this belief and I'm against this certain kind of belief. Like what I just said, somebody put in, you know, they feel it's not anything, but they are actually crucifying the Savior a second time. That's what they are doing. There is nothing that happens with anything you cover. There's, you know, one time I was speaking with the leaders, and I said there used to be somebody I know, and you know too, when he started, because people grow in knowledge. When he started, he said, the Lord said he should not wear his shoe, because where he's climbing is a temple. So he started without shoes. And I think I told my wife, I said he will soon start wearing shoe. It's a matter of time. So with time, he started wearing shoe. Then while he started wearing shoe, he now said the Lord told him not to go for any crossover service. That it is a wrong belief in church. You'd rather sit down and do it in your house with your family. Then 2 years later, he posted a crossover service. Again, he said, there's one more one that he said, it's almost leaving my head. He said, Sunday service, God has left Sunday service, churches like us, God has left, and God is in apostolic settings or prophetic settings. I don't know what he means by that. But God has left the church. That's why he will never go to any church on Sunday morning. That was ignorance in display. Now he's holding Sunday morning service. Now, if you were in such assembly and had consumed these kind of things, what will you do about your life? Because you would have taken this information out there. The information would have determined your decision. You'd have made some certain wrong decision. Now that the person has repented, what of all the people you have hurt because of the things you believed? Do you know what facilitates hearing God a lot of times? Your database. If the information on your insides, they are false. If you have wrong understanding of God's word, you will interpret the voice of God wrongly. God says something, you interpret it with the wrong understanding of God's word that you have on your inside. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's how people hear and communicate in the realm of the spirit. God speaks light, you see, but because of the insufficient understanding yet in your soul, you misunderstand what God is saying in the spirit. That's why it's difficult to tell people who use substance that God does not care whether you use substance or not. In fact, he does not want you to use substance. He wants to take all glory. If you tell people, prophets especially, that God does not want you to use anointing oil, water, sell anointing soap, because there was one time they were selling anointed blood of Jesus. I tell you the truth. Anointed fish and the soap that washes your sin. There was a time they were selling these things. But right now, some of the people have even stopped. Some are still selling it. You know, the funny thing is that they are always going to be what? Customers. Are we together? Are we together? So at that point, what do you do? Because you are being tossed to and fro by what? Deceitful ideology from what? Man's wisdom, because you think want to sit somewhere and understand God. Alright, but I'm going somewhere. There's a flaw in human data. Remember where we were. It can only measure the stump. It cannot measure the source. Job 14, 7 to 9. In summary, Job 14, 7 to 9 tells us that a tree can be completely cut down. The data says it's over because it's cut down. Remember what the Israelites said. They said our hope is cut. Our bones are dry, remember? He said, that rings on the storm saying its time has passed. The dry soil says there is no future. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Let's read it together. It says from verse 7. It says from verse 7, for there is hope for a tree. It is what? That it will what? Sprout. Now, even if it has cut down, what will happen to it? It can sprout again. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that it is tender, and that its tender shoot will what? Not cease. Are you listening to me? Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stem may die in the ground, next part of scripture, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth what? Branches like a plant. Hallelujah to Jesus. Look at all the disadvantages. But the Bible says, at the scent of what? Water. Now, in the message, one of the points, still a subtopic. The tension between prophecy and reality. The hardest part of the spiritual journey is dealing with the gap between what God said and what we are currently experiencing, or what we currently see. Hebrews 2, 7 to 8. I said we'll come back there. I want to read in the Amplified Edition. You have made him for a little while lower in status than the angels. You have crowned him with what? Glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, confirming what? His supremacy. Now, in putting all things in subjection to man, he left nothing outside of man's control. But at the status quo, at the present, we do not yet see all things subjected to him. So, do you see the honesty in this scripture? We do not yet see. The theology says all things are under his feet. The promise says nothing is outside his control. But then the reality hits. What is the reality? At present, we do not yet see this reality in manifestation. I hope you get what I'm trying to say now. That gap, dealing with this gap is very important. It's very, very hard, I mean, for most Christians. Is that we see the sickness, we see the empty bank account, we see the wrong circumstances, the empty whispers of Satan. If God is in control, why does it look like this? Because of this. Obvious things, the sickness, empty bank account. I mean, minus 6 points, minus 10 points. Meaning you are owing bank. From the next thing they send to your account, you are in trouble. That's why some people say, send that to my OP. If I send that for my roommate's account, I don't borrow OP. You want to send airtime to somebody, the person will tell you, Pastor, sorry, sir, please don't send it to this number. They'll cut it. You are owing 7,000. You bought new SIM, 500. Still better. Because how did you be sending 6,500? So now you start all over again. As you consume again, you change. Why does John have seven numbers? The Lord give you understanding. Because seven numbers is just how much. But 60,000 inside those six numbers, it's something for John. The enemy whispers, if God is in control, why does it look like this? He wants you to use what you do not see as an excuse to disbelieve what God did say. But the Bible told us that because of the seed of the word, Satan brings situations around us to suggest to us finally that God's word is not true. And some of you look down on yourself so much, give yourself some credit. You are big in the eyes of God. That is why when the word came to you, Satan came very fast with circumstances. And sometimes I believe people who don't take note of these always look down on themselves. They don't believe they are the ones the Bible is speaking about in Matthew 13. It is you and I. Because the seed of... Now, you are receiving the seed of God's word. You are, see how you are paying attention to me. You are setting yourself up for Satan's trials and temptation. What we call this is test of light. He will come to you because of what you are hearing. He wants you to forget entirely what you are hearing and say, these things don't exist. That's why while I was praying and while we were singing, I saw people who were once fervent with the Lord and not fervent anymore, taking back their stuff. That's what I was seeing in the realm of the spirit. The Lord opened my eyes and I saw how that people, even that I started with, people I started with who have left the faith. And I can tell you, if you truly grow in God, you come to that point where you don't brag about people who have failed. You are compassionate towards them. I tell you the truth. I learned that from Prophet Cruz. He said there was a certain man of God in South Africa that made a terrible mistake and wanted to stop ministry and came to his office and told him that he had stopped ministry. He just wanted to announce to his church on Sunday. And he said, why? I don't even think I can do what Prophet Kubus did immediately like that. Then Prophet Kubus told him that I want you to come minister in my church. He said, no, I have a scan. He said, I want you to come minister. I want to show the world that I believe in you. The guy still bounced back. He didn't need to quit. Hallelujah to Jesus. This is not a call for mistakes. But it gets to a point, and that point is called the realm of God. Because he's the one that forgives our sins and remembers our iniquity no more. What makes God, what is that thing that makes God look at you and still see good in you when there's a lot of evil that manifested yet? What's that thing? that makes him to be merciful towards you every day. There must be an understanding, a superior understanding facilitating his character. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if you truly come to that understanding, you'll be merciful towards people. Do you understand me tonight? That's why you wonder, especially for most pastors, I believe, why is it that they don't look down on members? No matter, a friend of mine, we're talking one day, he said, no sin where members they sin. We're just laughing. I said, you can't sin the sin that members sin as a pastor. You are totally cut short. We have heard all kinds of sin from members, and we have spoken to them and spoken faith to them, and they are back. I mean, nobody knows they ever did that sin until the pastor did something quarter to their sin. The church is empty. The pastor is castigated. It's thrown away. Hallelujah to Jesus. It takes so much maturity from members to stay in a church that a pastor has made a mistake. I mean, it takes the God kind of maturity. And that's why you must burn your bridges as a pastor. You need to be properly trained before you start this work. Because people will not forgive you. It is only God that will forgive you. Are you listening to me? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Point two, subtitle, shifting your focus from the problem to the person. How do we survive when the data of our daily lives contradict the promise of God? The very next verse gives us the ultimate strategy. Verse 9 of same Hebrews 2. It said, but we see Jesus. But we see what? Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, crowned with glory, honor because of his sufferings and death. Right? Okay, I'm just trying to summarize. Let me just leave it at the summary. Who was made a little lower than the angels for a little while, but was now crowned with glory and honor because of the sufferings of the cross. I'm trying to summarize. Because the next part of scripture makes it look as if it's a different understanding. Look at verse 10. For it was fitting for God that is an act of worthy of his divine nature, that he, for whose sake are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the author and founder of their salvation perfect through suffering, bringing to maturity the human experience necessary for him to be perfected, equipped for his office as high priest. So you may get it wrong if you try to compare it with Hebrews 5, and you are supposed to get it right, of course, but you may get it wrong if you come from Hebrews 5 to this place. But if you are from this place to Hebrews 5, you get it right. So the suffering here is the suffering of his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. And if you look at the same writing of Paul, you know, it's Paul that wrote this in Philippians 2. He said, because of Jesus obeyed, you know, humbled himself to death, God gave him a name that supersedes what? All name. That at the name, in the name of Jesus, every knee and every tongue confesses. So because of he that was buried and resurrected, the suffering God in perfected in the glory, so that he becomes a standard for us. He becomes a what? For all of humanity. So he took our nature, went through our problem, defeated our problem, gave us the victory for free. So I've got the victory. For free. But you see, the ignorance of this thing now will subject you to the devil. That's why you see most prophets, they don't like revelation. They don't like sitting down. The Bible speaking about revelation, it says, in the days to come, many people will not endure sound doctrine. For you to really understand God's word, you need endurance. Because look at as I'm teaching, and some of your eyes doing W. I can see one or two persons, your eyes doing W. Probably I'm boring you. But when I say, can I prophesy? Some of you may be very interested. In fact, some of you can remove your phone and show me the picture of somebody I should pray for. But you know, what we are doing right now is equipping you as a saint, so that you can solve your problems yourself. Without needing to call pastor, because God did not design that a pastor should be solving everybody's problem. Pastors have families. And that's why a lot of time pastors will lose their home in a bid to do what God did not send them to do. Yes, I say it boldly. If you really manage the ministry the way God wants you to manage the ministry, your home will be very okay. You can't be pursuing ministry at the detriment of your home. God knows. You claim God told you who to marry. And you claim God wants you to have 3 children so that you will leave them to be useless. No, God will balance everything. And that's why I believe God wants us pastors to do our job properly. You know, more like working smart, not necessarily hard. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. And that smart work will beat hard work. What do I mean? We equip the saints. Everybody is capacitated to do the work of the ministry. I can't be in every branch at the same time. I can't be in every cell at the same time. If, for instance, you have a problem in high level and my pastor lives around high level, I shouldn't be the one to come to high level and meet you. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. In fact, if I want to make it more easier, I should raise cell leaders to be so strong, such that I can send them on an assignment. One of the ways God helped me to groom people is that I don't only give you position, I send you to go and face challenges. You see, sometimes some people come here and give testimony that the pastor prayed for them and something happened. If you don't even give opportunity for the pastors to pray for these people, they will not even know they are anointed or not. You get what I said? Anointed or not. They should be able to measure their growth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? Are you seeing me just sitting down looking and watching? Because truly, it's not anything. But they should grow. I want to thank God. Pastor told me to go and pray for somebody. They are giving the testimony now. I want to thank God. Pastor told me to go and pray for them. When I laid my hands, the arthritis left. And the person who the thing left again is coming to thank God. You see, it's blowing their mind because they probably never thought something like that can happen through their lives. And that way now, I have time for myself. I have time for my wife. I have time for my children. I have time to play with my children. So we're taking nations. What is the time to play? Where is the time to play? Me? You can see it already. I have time to play. My daughter is so glued to me. I'm in trouble already. She knows when I'm moving. Even though she cannot see, she can tell. She knows. So how on earth will I not give her quality time? Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. But when you don't understand this as a prophet, you will start trying to build the whole ministry around you. You now become like a mini god. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You've been into places like that, you can tell what I'm saying. That's why we have some atrocities. Some people are the ones that give some kind of fake pastors and prophets the powers they have. Some people are the ones that make these prophets and pastors to dare some stupid things they would have not dared in countries and for people who know what they are doing. I tell you the truth. How can... I was talking to my mom yesterday, my father and mother, while we were growing up in Kaduna. There was this reverend father, not trying to mock, but it's the truth. You know, I was playing with my immediate younger sister. We're just playing on a Saturday. And he called her. I don't know how the hell he got her number. But I remember those days, some of our friends in the altar, but we used to give, and this is not me trying to castigate that denomination. I'm just telling you my experience. They'll collect numbers and be sharing to the reverend fathers of ladies. And I believe my sister became a victim that season. So they gave, and the only thing that helped her was that I was playing with her that moment he called. And we didn't have the number, both of us. We didn't have the number of him. So when he called, she picked. You know, those days, phone used to be very loud. You can't do all this thing. You'll be talking, somebody's not hearing. You'll be hearing the sound everywhere. Kai, was that my phone's name? Oh. Kai, it has this gold body. It was not empty. They buy the phone with this thing. You must use the network. Multilis, Is it Multilis? Is it not blue dashboard? Okay, maybe that's the one. You can't put MTN inside there. They configured it with the SIM. So my father bought me that one. And she too, she had. When they called her, it was loud. Hello, this is Reverend Father. So she now greeted. Good evening, sir. So much respect. We know if you grow there, you know we have so much regard. When you grow there, there's so much regard for the priest. And he said, are you alone? Make sure you are alone. And I told her to say she's alone. She now said, yes, sir, I'm alone.
And I said, do you know you are a very beautiful girl? And I like you. So I just collected the phone. I said, you are a bastard. You are talking to our elder brother. What a shame you are. He ended the call. The next day was bazaar. So when we went to church, I was not just in the mood. I couldn't wait to leave the place. I judged the place by his character. So he was looking for me. He was not at peace with himself. Immediately he just came to my mom. I was just beside my mom. He said, why are you just sitting there? Come and eat anything you want. I'll pay. My mom now said, and I said, no, thank you, sir. My mom now said, are you mad? The priest says you eat something. Women gathered me. This boy doesn't have, you know, that's like a privilege of privilege. You dare not say no. And of course, how will I say no? I miss women. Everybody was ready to knock my head. So I stood up and collected the food and I ate. And he now came close to me. I said, how are you? People were wondering what is the relationship between this mighty man and this small barrack boy. But only me understand the relationship. You know, I watched this movie where the daughter caught her father cheating. The daughter now became the best daughter of the father. There was nothing he was not buying for the daughter again. Anything the daughter just talk, they'll buy. The whole house observed that the father likes that daughter specially. When they are eating food, he will remove his meat. Say, Daddy, I don't like this meat. You now say, oh, my daughter, why will I not give you in this world? You remove his own and put a carry out. The mother was wondering what kind of... The children were wondering. They did not know they've catch this man. And when she called the man, he said, so this is what you have been doing to mommy. Hallelujah. So now, before he goes out, he takes report from the daughter. He tells the daughter where he's going to and proves it. Because the daughter said that thing must not continue. If not, she will escalate it. And sometimes she will tax the father. Big amount of money. And he'll give. To keep her mouth shut. And he cannot hurt his daughter. So he has to play by the rules. I didn't do that. He came to me like a barrack boy. He would just ask, so how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. Now there was no answer. So yesterday you were the one that picked the call. I did not answer. Say, who did you tell? I said, nobody yet, but I'll tell everybody. Tell my mom and dad that I'll start from there. It's like he said, it's not necessary. I just walked away. I'm telling you the truth. I just walked. You know, I walked. People didn't know I walked away. They thought he was done with me. Then I walked away. And the next time I didn't want to go to church, my mother said, why are you not going? I said, I don't feel like going there anymore. And I couldn't tell my mom. Because I knew my mom. My mom started that church. Nobody would tell me anything in this world. She's part of the founding mothers of that church. I believe the day they started that church, she put block there. Because there's nothing in this world anybody can tell me. So I didn't even want to start the conversation. Because I know I will not win. She will not preach for me. And you know, some people are the ones that give these people power like that. I tell you the truth. I've seen families where a fake prophet is sleeping with a daughter in the house. Nobody could talk. Father could not talk. Mother could not talk. Even reverend fathers. I'm telling you the truth. I started with prophet purposely so that you don't think I'm castigating a denomination. Give them that kind of power over their family. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because you don't want to read your Bible, somebody will take advantage of you. If you are ready to walk strongly with Jesus, all these prayer houses, most of them will lose their customers because it's customers. Fruit of the womb, how many thousand naira? Did they buy fruit of the womb? Do they buy fruit of the womb? But you go and pay for fruit of the womb and they know your problems. They know human problems. They know what to sell to you. You now hear marital breakthrough. And that's why most prophetic ministries, women will fool. They want to marry. They want to have a child. They want to marry. Most men are not there. You see them dragging their husband. Moku go prophet. Moku go that prophet say, he wants to see you. The men will come. If you even see them in the church, you know they force them to come to that church.
When they come one day, they are gone. Before you know, I'm not trying to insult. Before you know, it will escalate that that prophet is sleeping with women. Why do you think it's always like that? Before you know, think about a strong prophetic ministry you used to know. At certain point, this thing happened. Because a point comes, the people start seeing the man of God like a mini God. Anything, prophet. Why? The people don't know God for themselves. That's why you observe some prophetic ministries. They cannot teach the word of God. They don't like to teach it because they feel like they are opening people's eyes. Years ago in Kaduna, I went to buy a car when I was looking for a car. Many years ago, I got to this, where they sell car. Car stand. And it was a pastor that owned some of the cars. In fact, when I heard it was a pastor, I said, beautiful, it will be easier for the job to... Although, coincidentally, I didn't buy the car because it has some fault. Yet, he didn't even tell me about the fault. It was my mechanic. He wanted to scope my mechanic. He was eyeing my mechanic. My mechanic was removing the eye. I told my mechanic I would give him 2 times the money they used to give people. When they eye you as a mechanic, they give you like 50K. So me, I promised to give him 100,000 after checking the cars. We didn't finally get one. I still paid him his money because a deal is a deal. Now, while we're talking, he now heard I'm a pastor, a prophet. You're a prophet. Blah, blah, blah. That's after I will not buy the car again. He said, where are you? I said, Benue. He said, Benue people. It's like some of them, their eye door open there. Ministry not going to move there. I said, in my heart. Is this like some of them, their eye door open there? Ministry, no. You know what that means? Some of them are wise. So ministry cannot work there. In other words, he's looking for where people are not what? Wise. So they even know. You know, a governor did something, even if I feel like he's doing it too much to the extreme. He arrested some fake prophets. And he said he's going to ground 5 of them bail. You saw the news? At the detriment of healing any cripple that they've been healing on TV. So he said, no, he has no problem. He's going to release all these guys. But they should bring cripples. Anybody that healed the cripple like they saw on their TV should stand up and go. I tell you, if we start these kind of things, what a governor. I don't even know himself. I don't think I even remember his name. But I just saw the news not too long. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you have to wise up. Are you listening to me? You have to really wise up. The prophetic has been abused because of ignorance. Ignorance of the prophet. Ignorance of the people. Both ways. Prophets being ignorant of God's word. They think everything about God is word of knowledge. I see. Even Babalawo used to see. You know, and we're crying today that fake prophets are everywhere. Fake miracles are everywhere. Some are not just fake in that they are staging it too. Some are fake in that they are using demonic powers. But you see, there was a generation, one overzealous generation that caused this thing. We want to see the God of our fathers. We want to see the God, the mantles. We want to collect. His ministry is not talk. Ministry is demonstration. Stop talking. Do power. You see, they think they know what they are saying. Same people, same kind of mindset with the kind of mindset the Pharisees had about Jesus and about ministry. They said, if you are a son of God, show us a greater sign. In other words, Jesus coming and Jesus, the prophetic coming to the end. And everywhere there was a feast, he would come and declare himself as the manifestation, the reality of that shadow, that feast. That was not enough for them. Prophetically, it was vetted that Jesus is the Son of God. But they still said, the only way we will believe is that you should show us a greater sign. Meaning, leave everything Moses and Elijah did, though. Come and show us something. Even the disciples had that mindset. See what they told their master. Jesus preached somewhere, people did not hear. Jesus preached. People did not hear. Is it me that will preach that everybody will hear? So Jesus left and was going. The disciples said, they dare not to hear you. Didn't you say you are the Son of God? And when they, in their mind now, they just did one little comparison. Who is Elijah compared to our master? Called on fire like Elijah did. And Jesus looked at them. Instead of telling them, the people, you people did not try, he looked at his people. He said, you don't know that it was them you were shouting for. Don't you know the manner of spirit? He rebuked them, keep quiet. You don't know the manner of spirit you carry? You see that? Maybe it's not about displaying a wrong display of, but what are we killing them for? Elijah killing them was not the will of God, because Jesus is God and he did not kill people for not believing him. I don't know that again. I'm trying to explain to you. And this is how you understand the testament and remove the character of Jesus, which is the character of God. So I would say God does not kill. This is what we mean. The prophet enforced the power of God on the people. Are you listening to me? Glory to God forevermore. Just like the angels in the garden of in the wilderness were called fire to kill the Israelite, even though it was vetted, you know, through Moses' conversation with the angel, that was not the character of God. He interfaced with the angel at a point and said, remember when the Bible says he rebuked the angel and said, repent of your evil ways. People now said Moses rebuked God, because the scripture makes it look as if it was God that Moses spoke to and said, repent of your evil ways. Is it God that Moses would tell to repent of his evil ways? God is not a man that he should lie, not the son of man that he should repent. That simply means it was not God that Moses told to repent. How do I know it? Moses later on in several verses and chapters later said, oh God, show me thy face. In other words, it was not God Moses told face to face to repent. Are you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? It was angels standing in the stead of God. And that's why Hebrews 2:7 says, for a little while, in the Amplified rendition, for a little while we were under the mastery of what? Angels. They were in charge of us. If you look at the context of Hebrews 2, you will see how that there was a comparison of the old world and the new world. In verse 2, it says, if the word spoken by angels was powerful and had punishment thereof if you disobeyed, he said, how about the word spoken by Jesus himself? He said, how can we neglect the punishment if we neglect so great a salvation? Something like that. I'm trying to say it in my own ways. How will we escape the penalty if we ignore such a great salvation? The gospel, the new covenant. For it was spoken at first by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us and proved authentic by what? Those who personally heard him speak. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you here tonight? Very important. And so we have to wake up. I'm speaking to my fellow prophet also in this message. If you know any prophet, refer them to this message. It's time to wake up. Because sadly, I grew in a place that the prophetic was so strong. And I believe it's still there. But as we grew up, it was more shame upon shame. You grew up, instead of hearing people making progress, you hear they caught this guy doing this, they caught that guy doing this. And you are wondering, is this not the person I used to know before? What really happened to that person? You can't really make progress if your gaze are not set on Jesus. He said, I commit you all to God's word, which is able to what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. What has the potency to build you up is nothing about the giftings of the Spirit, but the word of God. It is the word that will build you up and cause you to receive real stuff from God. Taught real stuff in God. So we feed our So when you cannot see the breakthrough, you cannot look at the breakthrough. You have to look at the breakthrough maker. When you cannot see the answer, you feast your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because what you are looking at is subject to change. We may not see all things subjected, but what do we see? Jesus. We see the standard. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4:18. You know what this means? You are not seeing the healing yet. Set your eyes on the word. You are not seeing the breakthrough yet. Set your eyes on the word. You are not seeing anything manifested in your life yet. Set your eyes on the word. Because if the word happens to you, the Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask anything of me and I shall give unto you. You see that? If the word of God finds its full course in you, there is nothing the Lord will not give you. Because at this point, you are fully groomed. So stop seeking for things. Set your eyes on what has a potency to groom you up so that you receive an inheritance among them that are what? Sanctified. You want inheritance at the detriment of not seeking, setting your gaze on the word? Not possible. It is only the word of God that can groom you. That's why I tell people, you are not seeing something manifested in your life yet. How about your secret place? Are you setting your gaze on God's word in your secret place? Are you staying with the word enough? You may not see all things subjected under your feet yet, but see Jesus. Keep on setting your eyes on the word. Don't stop speaking the word, as Pastor Chris would say. Keep on speaking the word. Don't stop speaking it. That when you keep your eyes gazed and set on the word, you come up with a testimony. Because God will happen to you. His word will abide in you. And that's why you see in 1 John 3:6, there was a substitute for seeing and knowing God there, which is abiding in God. 1 John 3:6. He said, if you abide in me, the substitute is, if you have seen or known me, same consequence, you will not continue in your sin. You see that? So how do you get to truly know the Lord? By abiding in the word. You see that? You truly want to know the Lord? Abide in the word. What you have been hearing, you will truly come to think in terms of reality of it when you stay on it enough. You go back and keep on setting your gaze on the perfect law of liberty. Not being a forgetful hearer. One who hears and goes and forget entirely what he heard in the midweek service. You must create a system that will cause you to keep on remembering. Keep on setting your eyes. That's why as a church we have tried. And some people may have a problem with us for this system that is trying to help them. We have what we call midweek service. We have what we call Bible studies. We have what we call self-fellowships. So that we eternally work, helping you to be interfaced with God's word. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That way, you are entering into your freedom. You are getting closer into your freedom. You are getting closer to your promised land. Because if their mindset had changed, the children of Israel, they would have entered the promised land. Why did they not enter? Their mindset were unchanged yet. That's why the people who set their gaze on the word, even in the story, you know, of the children of Israel, their case was different. Can you remember the people? Caleb and what? When the people were scared and calling those guys giants and that they were grasshoppers before them, the 10 spies, Caleb and Joshua said, let us go at once and finish them. He said, for their bread for us, let us go and eat them. He said, go and eat the bread. Go and eat them. Eat them. Consume your fear. Tell somebody, consume your fear. O ye mountain that stand before Zerubbabel. He said, you shall be brought low. You shall be brought low. You shall be brought low. Do you know what made many people to fail in their work with God? As I was seeing in the vision as we're singing. Because they set their gaze on weaknesses rather than the strength of God in the word. You see, people agreeing to weakness easily than the truth of God's word. Because it is too good and too powerful to be true for us. So we are all sinners. Those are stupid statements. We are all not perfect. Those are useless statements. A believer has nothing to do with those statements. Are you listening to me? Oh, glory to God. I'm not weak. Paul told Timothy, be strong in the Lord. And in the power. Your strength is in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Now your confession becomes different. Don't try to claim. Look, be painted as humble before the world and be saying rubbish, anti the word, speaking anti God's word. The Bible says he has said, so that we may boldly say, we'll translate God's word into situations. Let's look at the book of Hebrew, where the Paul's scripture was said. The book of Hebrew, very, very fast, where the Paul's scripture was said. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. Now, this is God's word. See how the man of God translates the word into his situation. He didn't quote it. The Bible says he will never leave me. He will never. No. No, you don't understand the word. You must translate it. It is raw material, that the logos of God's word. When it becomes a rhema, it is finished product. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Which is profitable for you. You don't carry raw material and use. It's finished product you use. It says, next part of scripture, verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do? Can never be broke in my life. You see now, you may feel like a liar. I will never be broke. I always have. Every time, anytime, in the name of Jesus. So we are trying to deal with that gap. We are here. God said, this is it. But the time space between, you know, where we are and where we ought to be. We may not see all things subjected yet. But we see Jesus. We see the word. We speak the word. We speak the word. Not the circumstances. Not the circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. Never the circumstance. No, I don't speak the circumstance. I only speak God's word. Why? Because what you are looking at is subject to change. Paul reminds us in Colossians 4:18. What you are looking at, the situations, the wrong situation, they are subject to change. Oh glory, oh glory. This situation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. You know, is it Colossians 4:18? 2 Corinthians 4:18. I said the wrong scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen? We don't look at the things, the status quo, the present limitation. We look at the things that are yet seen by physical human beings, the human minds are made. You know, these things are virtual to them, but they are real to us. The word of God is real to me. Years ago, the Lord wanted to help me, and he appeared to me in a vision through a God general. And he spoke to me. He said, see the word of God so real, like everything you touch every day. And you begin to see the reality in your life. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The word of God is real to me. It's very real to me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So we feast our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is what? Temporary. But what is unseen yet is what? Eternal. And the word of God is what the Bible calls eternal. The wrong situation you are looking at right now is sin. The delay is sin. But the Bible calls them temporary. They have an expiry date. Oh, the way I said it, I wrote it here, expiration date. Just because it isn't subject to you at present doesn't mean it won't be subjected to you in the future. But what will cause it to be subjected to you finally? Setting your gaze on Jesus. That is a big formula. You may not yet see everything subjected under your feet yet, but we see Jesus. Whoosh! 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 Is it a wrong situation? I think I've said this right. I think I've said it. Now, one of the other points before we close, hoping against all hope. I call it the Abraham strategy. Who are you here? The Abraham strategy. Father Abraham has many children. My daughter loves that song very well. When you choose to see Jesus instead of the dead data, the dead information, the dead situation, you develop the kind of grit that Abraham had. Look at the data Abraham had to manage in Romans 4:18-20. See the data that helped him to manage the situation and come out victorious. Romans 4:18. See how Paul describes it. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Let's start from verse 17 so that you get it properly. From verse 17. as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Do you know the Bible said that Abraham, amidst many mighty things of faith he did, one of it that blew my mind was that, if you read the book of Hebrews, you see Paul, he wrote it there, Hebrews 11. He said, Abraham, by faith, took Isaac. To kill Isaac. Somebody said Abraham would have not killed him. The Bible said Abraham had already killed him in his heart. And Abraham had no problem. You know why he had no problem? He believed that God was able to bring Isaac back to life. See, Abraham did not see God as a killer. He saw God as a person that can was just trying to test him. He knew God was too good to just kill Isaac. And let me tell you how Abraham understood God. By, you see, some of us, when God does something, we don't learn from what God does. Think about the small thing God does. You will come in contact with his hand, so his mighty hand. If you learn from what he is doing from his fingers yet in your life. He told Abraham, leave your father's house to a land. If you nobody knows. God carried Abraham to where he does not know and started the land with Abraham. Took Abraham for him from his father's house. Took Abraham. He said, now this is the land. No human being, no house, no nothing. He said, this land is yours. Abraham started building house. Yet Abraham became rich, the Bible says, in cattle, in male and female servants. He became rich in everything. Oh, somebody, are you here tonight? Oh, yeah. Today we talk about great men of God, like even Bishop Oyedepo. Do you know Otah was a village? God told him to go to a village. He went there. That is one of the greatest source of revenue for those people there now. In fact, in Nigeria, the number of white men that have visited that village is because of the faith of one man. They don't depend on Nigerians' light. They have their own source of light. He said for many years, more than how many years, they've not taken light in Canaan land. Nepa has not happened to them. Hey, Yalabosh. Zuvri. Nepa did not happen to them. And some people have mind to insult men of God. Imagine such a man was your president. Which president alive and dead will you go to his house that Nepa don't take light, even in their house? They've not been able to achieve that. He called it the Canaan land. Even airport is there. They just gave him approval to build his own airport. So the church will have their own landing space. They are not paying to land anywhere again in this country. The faith of one man is a blessing, being the blessing of many generations. Do you know how many workers are there today? How many people they've employed to be working? Paying their salary. It was from here Abraham said, if God can do this thing. That's why he is the one that started. If you read the Torah, it was Abraham that first said that. He calls the things which are not as though they were. Abraham, you know who Paul was quoting? It's Abraham. He said, Abraham called the things which are not as though they were. He was focused on the unseen. He lived by the unseen, not by the seen. The Bible says he considered not. I'll read that part, but let me say it before I read it. He considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. Say, your wife cannot give birth. He smiled. Who said that? He never sat down and shivered. They said, my wife will not. But the science came. They had by instinct. They sat him down, probably, and explained to him that she has reached menopause. And he told them to pause. That God's word. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You know, we chose ministry, if not rap. Oh, Jesus Christ. Would have done good in that aspect. He told them to pause and receive the impulses of the Spirit. Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He considered not the deadness. He said, now where were we? Let's go to the next part. Okay, now, let me continue. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed God, who gives life to the dead. You see, that's Isaac's situation. He gives life to the dead, meaning Abraham believed that God will give life to Isaac, even though Isaac died. He said, and cause, now we're talking about Sarah now, and cause those things which do not exist as though they did. As God called him father of many nations, he started calling himself father of many nations. You know, he made a mistake in his walk with God. God told him, he said, I am not going to use your own work to achieve this thing. Sarah helped him. See, it was no side chick. It was righteous side chick. Your wife carry woman and give you. Have your way with woman. Have you ever heard that kind of thing before? Say, honey, it is me. Now me, they give you this one. And husband is saying, I don't want to. Not like the wicked ones or what. Oh, husband said, I don't want. Still force him. When he was done, God said, thank you, Mama Sarah, Mrs. Sarah. Thank you. And thank you for what you have done. But I'm not going to use what you have done. I'm not going to use it. I will still bring about my own. I want to do it my own self and get the glory. So that at the end, you not think you help God. You see, some of this human effort you put to try to help get through the process. When you are done achieving it, God will set it aside. He will make you feel as if, I don't know that some of you are even in that situation right now. You have done all the calculation. He said, no, that's not what I want to do. So that you think it's through this one. There's something. He's just doing his hand like this in the spirit. Have something figured out. But I want you to be in alignment with me, brother. Can you think like Father Abraham? Can you say what I'm saying about you? Can you align, get into your system? Because truly, sometimes you are tempted to fail. To fail. Some people around you will cause you to fail. For Abraham, it was his wife. Sometimes it can even be your father or mother. Sometimes it can be your friend. Sometimes it can even be you. But Abraham failed at some point. But he stood up, dusted himself, kept on walking again. Tell somebody, stand up and walk again. What God has said must be manifested. Yeah, I'm talking to somebody that probably have a child out of wedlock. I mean, you can move because Abraham had a child, but he still fulfilled the promise. That probably may be the worst of it. Some of you don't even read about your God's generous, like Ketchukuma, Mario Woodot Eta. You celebrate the glory because you see, when God is done with you, people will not think of your mistake. They'll only see the glory. But if we tell you the stories, you'll be amazed. If we tell you some stories, you'll be amazed. You'll be wondering if we truly know what we're saying. Are you here tonight? Oh, glory to God. Next part of scripture. Okay, 18. Stop. 18. Go back to 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Contrary to hope, meaning in a situation where there was no hope, Abraham had hope. There is no reason for hope, yet Abraham had hope. Oh, Araba Kosupatakaya. I choose to walk in the path of Father Abraham, though the path of faith. And you listen, see, the data that Abraham had was not sufficient enough logically to give him that kind of faith. But in our days, Christ has been revealed to us. The Bible says our own kind of faith, the source of our own kind of faith, is mightier. It's a faith coming by hearing Christ. Our own faith. When we hear about God in his entirety, we have now the whole counsel of God. Abraham did not have it, but see what he did. That's why he blew the mind of God. He said, I'm going to record this into New Testament faith. I'll count it as righteousness for you, even though I have not started New Testament. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Do I have people tonight who are saying, God, I want to touch beyond what Father Abraham did? Because we have something more. More as a source of faith than what Father Abraham had. The information we have today is too much. With limited data, see what he did. Can somebody tonight say, God, I am having hope against all hopes? I'm having hope against all odds. It may not appear. You know, it looks as if there is no hope. I can't fathom how you will do it. But Lord, you are doing it. I know you are doing it. You're doing something behind the scene. Something is happening. And very soon, as I keep on not setting my gaze on the situation that Satan is bringing to limit me to entering God's word, but on Jesus, I'm going to come into a miracle soon. I may not see all things that the world has set subjected under my feet. And sometimes I'm in a situation where I'm even being mocked because of my God, because of my faith. But I choose to set my gaze on Jesus, not on the mockers. Sometimes you can be distracted trying to prove people your faith, you know, that God is powerful. You hear the mockers, you say, God, do it so that my enemies will know. God does not want to just do it so that your enemies will know. He wants to do it because He's God and because He's good. It's a wrong place to be. To say, God, do it and shame my enemies. No, God does not do things to shame enemies. He does things because He's God. When He resurrected, He didn't say, call Pharaoh, call all those idiots in Egypt, call all of those stupid people, call Herod, call everybody for me, tell them to come, let them come and watch me. I mean, Israel would have had no option to doubt if Jesus resurrected. Jesus would have gone to hold all the high priests. Check me out. Can you put your fingers? Put your fingers here. Thank you. Are you seeing it? You doubted me, yeah? Check me out, Jesus. Woo! So what are you saying? What do you say? See me? I resurrected. He just took his 12. He had no point to prove to no one. When they dared to doubt him, he didn't even through an encounter try to convince them. Two guys were arguing within themselves. They went to the tomb. They did not see Jesus. They said, somebody stole his body, obviously, like the high priest said. You've been walking with this man for years. You are doubting what he said. And Jesus said, oh, you fool and slow to heart, to believe what the prophet have said. He didn't say to believe what I said. He said, it is written in your Bible, in the Torah. You did not believe it. Little wonder, when the rich man went to the bosom of Abraham, went to hell and saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, he said, please go and tell my people, Abraham, please send somebody to tell my people that they should not behave like me. If not, they'll end up where I am. Abraham said, no, nobody needs to go and tell them. They have the Torah, they have the prophets, they have the law. If they could read, if they will not believe what the prophet have said, they will not believe an encounter by a spirit to them in the night or in the day. I don't need to go and stand and say, listen, the rich man is there. That's Abraham speaking now. The rich man is in hell. You better repent. He sent me to tell you. No, God does not operate like that. If you can't believe what he has said, then there's no need to believe. He will not give you any other means to believe. What he has said is the final authority. How can God say something and you are looking for something else to prove what God has said? His word is what? Yea and amen. If the word is not enough to convince you, God does not think any other thing is enough to convince you. He said, oh, you fool and slow to act, to not believe what I have said through the prophet. If I have said it, will I not do it? Honor the prophet, honor the Savior, ought to suffer, and after suffering, enter into his glory. So in other words, if you really believe the Bible, you should understand that I'm supposed to resurrect on the third day. Is this not the third day? Human beings can be terrible. It's a third day and you are still doubting. So now that you have believed, you have said in the Bible in Matthew 13 and several scriptures that when the seed of the word comes to you, the enemy brings situations around you. Why are you now setting your gaze on the situation? Why are you now doubting God now that you are seeing situations? Don't you think it's because of the seed of God's word that is on your inside? Same thing I'm asking you. Don't you think so? That this many trials and tribulation is because of the heavy seed of God's word on your inside. And sometimes we doubt ourselves. Years ago, the Lord told me, he opened my eyes. He said, son, you have, because I was praying and I'm like, Holy Spirit, what have I done? Why all of this rubbish? There was a time in my life, I was praying like this. Why are these kind of stupid things around me? What is my offense? What have I done? And the Lord opened my eyes. He said, son, listen, all of these things is not to necessarily get those folks down. It is to get you down. Satan wants your heart for him. He wants to tilt your heart towards me. I said, how? He said, offense. When you get offended because of the happenings, you try to do good things and people do bad things, they pay you with evil, you get offended, you get bitter, and my word cannot flow through you again. That's where Satan wants to put you. And I made up my mind that day. I said, nobody will destroy the quality of my personality. It doesn't matter what happens. No man born of a woman can destroy the calling. I keep on being myself. I will never change. No matter the situation. I am who God says that I am. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, one time we had a situation, someone left church, and the person now told people, he said, in that church they used to give very well. So I now told people on Sunday, if you remember, I said, they said in our church we used to give very well. We're about to collect partnership. Partners, can you stand up and give? Now, that would have made somebody who is fearful as a pastor say, I'm going to stop receiving. No. We give and build the church. We always give. If you have heard, they say we give. Yes, we give. And we won't give the Sunday you come. And you give too. Hallelujah to Jesus. There's no point to prove to no one. Jesus did not call for an assembly and say, see, I've risen up. Only with his 12. And he left. He left everybody on the fence. He knows he has risen up. He had a few that believed. But him knowing was enough. He left. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. That it was written in the word of God is enough. It will happen in your life. Stop looking for other source of faith. For the fact that it is written in God's word, and you have seen it, it can become your reality. And that's why I'm against these saints. Somebody needs an encounter. You don't need any encounter outside the word of God. As long as you have heard God's word, he had encountered you through his word. There is no encounter bigger than God encounter through his word. The God encounter is an encounter by his word. So when you stay with the word so much, I tell you, something will happen to you. We said it on Sunday. Holy flash blindness. It will hit you. And for a moment, you will forget every failure in the world and start thinking about glory and glory alone. To be lost in light. I call it to be caught up in the glory. To be lost in the light of God. To be lost in the awe of his presence. John said, when I saw him, I fell as one dead. That's what happened to Paul. And everything about his life changed. A man who said, I killed Christians with a clear conscience. Now, he calls himself a prisoner of the gospel. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. A prisoner for the gospel of Christ. Somebody who was killing Christians according to him with a clear conscience. What can change somebody like that? That somebody who is a Boko Haram, father of Boko Haram. I'm telling you, that's the kind of picture. Imagine Paul like that. You know, the situation is so bad that Paul was a Christian, according to him. A Christian who believed these other Christians are missing it. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? It was so bad. Because the Bible says a man in a greater darkness is a man that has assumptions of light. That if the light in you be, how great is your darkness? That was Paul's situation. He had wrong understanding of God's word. And so he said, I killed Christians with clear conscience. But you see, even though they are false light, Jesus calls himself the true light. That lights off every darkness and every false light. And as we are speaking this night, many people beyond the walls of this church are realizing true light and are coming out from assumptions, false light, into the true light. Are you hearing me tonight? Thank you, Holy Spirit. So now, finally, where was I? I was in verse. Give me verse 20. Because of time. 19 and 20. Let's just read very fast. I want to end. It said, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Let's put out scripture. He did not waver at the promise of God. Why? Unbelief. What makes you to shake? Unbelief. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory. If you are in faith, what will be your response at the end? Glory to God. You will be full of thanksgiving. You wake up, glory to God. Glory to God. That's a man in faith. A man in faith is always full. The proof of faith is thanksgiving. You are in the tough situation. Father, I give you glory. Hey, I give you glory. They think that's a showcase of weakness. That's a display of strength. That's a display of faith. The data, he was 100. Sarah was barren. Humanly speaking, it was wrong and a dead situation. The faith strategy. Abraham didn't pretend. Didn't didn't pretend the storm wasn't there. He faced the facts, went against all human hope, and chose to believe the promise giver more than the statistics. He considered not the deadness of the womb, because he was considering the greatness of his God. And the last point, the supernatural turnaround, the scent of water. Now we are hitting the nail on the head. The scent of water. When you are in a long delay, it feels like nothing is happening. But on the net, the dead in the dark, the roots are still alive. Delay is not denial. It is development. That's why Kenneth Hagin said the two beautiful twin in scripture is faith and patience. That while you are in faith, God needs patience to help facilitate your faith to become a reality. But if you are not patient, God cannot help you to come into faith. And that's why while you are not yet seeing all things subjected under your feet, set your gaze on Jesus. That's what it means for you to wait. At that point, you are mounting up wings. Strength is growing so that we are running and not fainting. You walk and not what? You run and not be what? Weary. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So that you can mount up wings as eagles, and when you take one flap, you are gone. And it does not take much to change your reality. Job says, the storm doesn't even need a whole river to come back to life. It just needs the scent of water. The scent of water. A scent is a shift in the atmosphere. The rain hasn't even hit the ground yet, but the moisture is in the air. One word from God, one touch of His Holy Spirit can override years of delay. Peter said, I've been toiling morning until now. It doesn't make sense that I should cast my net again. Rabus Capellia. It doesn't make any sense. Somebody is going back today. You have been doing this thing for years, but you are going back today because something has happened. A scent of water. He said, at thy word, I will cast my net again. Tell somebody again. Tell somebody, do it again. The same position. He didn't move forward, no backward. The boat was still there. The master just came down from the boat. Remember, the master just came down from the boat. God uses time like He's using your time. And people are thinking you are failing. Now the Lord is done. He's done with your boat. Go cast your nets. Same place. Same place. Location not change. Nothing changed. Cast your net at the scent of water. Peter had a boat sinking. A net tearing harvest. How did the fish come? The scent of water. As the word came, suddenly fish started growing. He considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider that this was the same place that there was no fish. Go to that same location. You may have not been seeing customers. Now customers are there. Go cast your net at the rhema of God's word, at the listening of God, as you are hearing now. Go back. Something has happened. Are you hearing me tonight? For something has happened. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. At the scent of what are the things that are not yet subjected to you, we suddenly bow to the name of Jesus. The data changes instantly at the scent of water. The medical report flips over at the scent of water. Remember that lady who was SS? We saw the news everywhere. She said she prayed. She prayed. People would have mocked her. Doctors would have said, with their, you know, intelligent minds, probably in that field, you know, go. But the word of God beat any kind of human intelligence, even AI. The word of God beats it. You know, I told one of my funny computer scientist friend, I said, AI is not intelligent than the Bible. You give the AI something to give you something. If you don't know what you are doing, AI give you rubbish. It gives you other people's information that is very useless. That's why there's such a thing called data nulling in artificial intelligence. They learn from your information. They learn from you. Because the goal of computer is to come to a point where every computer is behaving like human being. And AI is the facilitator of this dream. Computer science goal is to make sure that machines behave like human beings. It is through AI computer science wants to achieve this. So if the dream of science is to make sure that machines behave like human beings, why do you see somebody so intelligent and say, ah, this guy works, behaves like an AI. He has typewriter brain. He has machine brain. It's an insult to humanity. It's an insult to what God has done in your life. Because human beings made those things. In other words, instead of seeing how wonderful machines are, see how wonderful God is in that He made human beings to make the machines. When I look at beautiful minds doing great things today, all I see is the power of God. All I think about is the glory of God. And that's why God said there is no excuse for any man. That seeing what I have done, every human being should understand that I exist. In the book of Romans 1. Great scientists like Isaac Newton says, little sciences take you far from God, but much sciences brings you closer to God. At the scent of water, the medical report flips, the locked doors open, the stalled careers take off. Finally, the call to action. Recommitting to trust. If you have been looking at the wrong circumstances and letting the data dictate your fate, it is time to change your gaze. Tell somebody, change your gaze. Stop staring at what is not yet happening and start looking at Jesus. He is the author. Everything about your life is Jesus' experience. He is the author and finisher of your faith. Not anybody's faith. No man of God is the measure of faith and the standard of faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. Are you hearing me tonight? How do we fight the data of delay? Acknowledge. You can say, okay, I might be here, but I look up to Jesus. The Bible says we may have not seen all things subjected under our feet. We have not seen it, but we see Jesus. I may be sick tonight, but I see Jesus. I may be in lack tonight, but I choose to look at the things which are eternal. Because this one is subject to change. Refuse to confess the dead data, the dead information. Speak what God says about your situation, your future. Not just what the circumstances says about your present. Death and life lies at the power of the tongue. Speak God's word. You know speaking is spiritual for you as a child of God. Don't speak the wrong situation. Now finally, the proof of faith, like Abraham prayed, glorify God. Praise Him for the scent, like Abraham did. When God's word came, that was a scent. Abraham did not start wondering, is God going to be able to do it? Will God be able to do it? When he received the scent of water, the voice of God, a rhema from God, like you are receiving this wonderful evening. Those days in scripture, when prophets speak, the people go back knowing God has spoken. They don't wait for God to come and say, hey, when prophets speak, when the man of God speaks, and I don't mean prophet like a prophetic calling, your pastor, an apostle, evangelist speaks God's word to a people, they know God has spoken. Now God has spoken to us. He has said His word to us. And it's so evident this evening that God has spoken to us. We have received the scent of water. Now let your balls rise. Go back and make sure your balls rise by setting your gaze on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, not on the situation. You may not see them subjected yet, but see Jesus. Because seeing Jesus is what will get the wrong circumstance subjected. The wrong circumstance is subjected. If you don't keep on seeing Jesus and start seeing Jesus, the wrong things will not come under your feet. You may have not seen them under your feet, but how to get them under your feet is to set your gaze on Jesus. And of course, if your heart is full of Jesus, your mouth will speak it. You keep on speaking God's word. You know, it's called double-edged sword, in that when you speak, like David said, you are writing something upon your heart. You are writing the word. You write the word on your heart when you speak it. And secondly, it is used to declare like a king. Where the word of a king is, there's power. So you use the word to arrange your heart, to write God's, you use your word, to write God's word on your heart. And secondly, you speak God's word to execute what has already happened to your heart. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you begin to speak God's word. You speak God's word against all odds, like Elisha, by this time tomorrow. You go like a madman. Go say, by this time tomorrow, you don't care. By this time tomorrow. We look stupid before people. Say, who are the aliens? Who are these ones? Who are these aliens upon the face of the earth? We are speaking God's word. There may be nothing suggesting hope around us. But against all hope, the order of of the day, how we talk to every normal human being, we are speaking hope. Amidst no hope, we are speaking hope. When men say there's a casting down, we are shouting there's a lifting up. Let the weak say, and let the poor say, be on your feet and say, I'm who God says I am. Begin to pray. At the scent of water, my board is rising. My board is rising. I can hear you, people of God. Is that how you pray when your board rises? Is that how you pray when you receive the scent of water? Care less about your neighbor. Get into the spirit and pray. Like Jacob, I will not let the world go until it changes me. I can't hear you, church.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.